Saker, how you doing?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, your voice, it's almost back. Did you get some sleep?
Not bad.
Huh? Did you get some sleep yesterday?
I've been sleeping for days.
Now, when did you start building the dressing room and the second story viewing area? Because I'd heard that in December it was basically drywall. Is that correct?
December we were drywalling still. It was a kind of a difficult thing to get organized. The plans have been in development stage for probably 2 years or more. But it was hard to get permits just because of the use of the building. So whatever, we had took a little while to get through that, and then finally started the building late September, early October. And then from there, we had to, again, wait for a few more things. But all it came down to is we kept running out of time. And by December's, December 1st, we had the building stick framed, and we had a roof on it. So that means we could go. So within literally 6-7 weeks, the place was completed on the inside, which is amazing.
Well, and it looked great. The locker room itself, man. I remember when I played in 2005, and you know what, we had stalls in your garage, if I recall, and just a bench, and guys would sit there, and you know it was pretty packed. But it's not like you spent a lot of time in there. Basically, you'd walk in, change, and go back out. But I know guys, they were hanging out in the room. Now it was like luxury for those guys.
Yeah, it was fun, and that's all been sort of a part of it too. It's like I told all the guys when we just sort of had our little meeting at the end of the game with everyone in the room. The name tags that are in there, you can slide them in and out, and that's by design for a simple reason: is that it's not to replace people's stalls, because the 40 people that played in that game, that's their stall for life, and that's, unless they decide to give it up for whatever reason, maybe they can't play in the next game or health reasons, whatever it is, always respectful, but that is their stall forever. And if they want to take their name tag off, that's up to them. Other than that, everybody left their pictures in the stalls of their loved ones, and their names are there, and a few personal items. It's all stays in there to the next game.
Oh, wow. Now, I've heard, though, your outdoor rink, which is fantastic. If amateur teams want to practice out there, you wanted them to come out and skate and maybe even play a game?
Yeah, that's my goal. I don't want that thing just to sit there until we play in another 2 years. My goal is that if an adult rec team wants to come and play, then their job is they have to write a check for $1,000 to the Alberta Cancer Foundation. And they can come and use the rink and use the facilities for however they see fit. Go play a shooting game, play a league game, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I'll make sure that the ice is ready for them. If minor hockey or little kids want to play, then the fee structure is a little different. It has to be that all of the kids on the team have to fundraise. So if the kids pull $20 together, then they do. I just don't want any money from the parents. I want kids to learn that it's important to give back, and I want them to take money out of their piggy banks and give to a charity so that they can learn the importance of doing that.
That's an awesome idea, Brent. I absolutely love it. And kids, you know what? When they see they're helping out, they feel more involved and they love it.
Yeah, and I want them to feel special too when they're there. We'll make sure there's hot dogs and stuff and things like that for them. So it's designed to be used by people and enjoyed and just kind of be a part of something that keeps getting more special every time we do it. It's pretty amazing.
Brent Sake from the World's Longest Game joins us. I can attest that it's a great place to have a stag hockey game as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's what yours was. Yeah, we didn't have that room there yet. But
no, we didn't have the room, but the rink was great.
The rink was good. Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. A few other things, Brent. Now, you were at $1.1 million. I know a lot of guys had some donations based on goals scored and such. Do you expect to get over like 1.2, 1.3, or maybe even more?
I think, if I'm guessing correctly, just by gauging where we were last time, we were just over the $1 million mark when we finished playing, and we ended up at 1.34. So I'd be ecstatic if we could get to 1.3 or 1.4 million by the time the silent auction items went for crazy amounts of money and stuff like that. We haven't included that. And ultimately, all the some of the sponsorship stuff, we don't count that unless the check is cash. So there's still some of that that still has to be done. And go to albertacancer.ca if anybody's listening and they haven't had a chance. We're still taking donations, no question.
Brent, now you had mentioned 2 years. You're going to do it in 2 years because I know you don't like to do it usually in the Olympic years because obviously February, you know, the Olympics are a pretty big deal. So it's either 17 or 19, but you're going to do the world's longest baseball game next year, correct? Like, are you eventually going to rotate kind of where you might go like 19, 20, and then like every two or like 19, 21 kind of thing?
I haven't figured that system out. It'll just kind of base on I mean, the thing is, too, I can't go to the well too often through sponsors and things like that, and I have to be careful of that, and I don't want this to be something the community gets bored about either. I want them to get excited about it, so that's why we're doing the baseball game, and we'll just kind of rotate it. Every couple of years, you'll see something going on, maybe depending on the field. Maybe we're playing hockey depending on the rink, whatever. I don't know, but within a couple of years, you'll see another event, and we're just going to keep doing it that way.
Now, what is the current record for world's longest baseball game?
62 hours. I can do that in my sleep.
Well, it would be. It's a much different challenge, though, than hockey. Now, the rules, because in baseball, when a game of baseball is being played and rain comes down, they go to a rain delay. Would that how it work in the world's longest game? Would you get a rain delay, or would you have to play through it?
You have to play through the rain. The only kind of rule change you have that you're allowed to do is subbing the pitcher in and out. Because, of course, once you pull the pitcher off the field, he can't go play. But in the marathon game, the pitchers can go in and out of the game, which allows everybody to keep playing. We've got a few scenarios on how to do a rotation because it's the same number of players. It's 22 teams of 20 players. So we haven't really figured that out, and I'm glad it's only 62 hours because doing something like this once is always tricky, I'm sure. We've got a few ideas on how to do a marathon event, but baseball is different than hockey, and there's a lot of different injuries that can occur and a lot of different factors. Weather, snow isn't bad, cold isn't bad, but rain can be really bad in baseball, so that's something that we have to try and work around as well.
I've had a few people texting. Do you have any leftover toques that for purchase?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What I'll do is I'm going to have a bunch of the merch in my office here in Sherwood Park at Alberta Sports Vision and pop in anytime and be able to get toques and T-shirts and pucks and all that kind of good stuff. And that's still part of the fundraising we're doing.
The other one about the game itself, Brent, 250 hours. Now, you've played 240 and 244 and 242. Was this one, like, outside of the snow, and I guess that really only impacted the guys who were playing that early in the evening. How would you rank this one overall compared to the previous ones you've done?
As far as difficulty, I asked a bunch of the players that have played in other games, and this was probably the easiest one. And weather-wise, it was easiest. We had one night of bad snow, but one afternoon of kind of crappy ice. But in the past, it's been 4 days of minus 30 to 40, or a whole 2 days of snow, or 3 or 4 days of warm weather. So it never let up. But we were lucky this time because it was just sort of maybe an afternoon or an evening. And once you get through that, then you're good again, and you got good ice and away you go. As well, we had a lot more therapists. We had a lot more chiropractors, more medical staff, everything we just had more of. And, of course, the amenities made it easier for everybody to change, and it was more comfortable, and the sleeping arrangements were better. Just everything just gets better. And the few little things that you can tweak, it's amazing how that makes a big difference. Just after 250 hours of making sure that your trailer isn't freezing up, that one night of sleep that you don't lose is big.
Oh yeah, I would. because having a frozen trailer in the middle of the winter is not fun for the guys sleeping in there. Now Dana Reynolds, I know, was injured and had to leave the game. He didn't have a blood clot, did he?
He didn't. No,
okay.
It turned out okay, and thankfully that was a hard thing for Dana. So what we had to do was we had to email Guinness to say we had one player that left, so during the game we had to wait for them to email us back. Unfortunately, they didn't do it for like 3 or 4 days. And then they finally, because what they do is they take it on a per-situation basis, where if you had to leave the game for an injury, then if you come back and play, then there's no Guinness record. So we had to wait to get an okay for him to play, and unfortunately Guinness said that his injury wasn't good enough or bad enough to warrant leaving, which I think is asinine, because he could have died from the injury, but obviously, you know, thankfully he didn't, and he's good. And so what we did is a little bit at the end, and I don't know, the people that were there might have noticed that we actually broke the record, played a little bit, but then number 88 Dana came on the ice, and that was already, the record had stopped at that point, but we just kept playing for Dana for about 10 or 15 minutes so that he got a little ice time.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if they would have deemed his injury acceptable, he could have left, got treated, came back and returned to the game, and it would have been
correct.
Considered fine. Okay. So
yeah.
He just leaves the game, and then you just play a man down and guys have to double shift more frequently. That's all that
exactly.
happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. They're pretty sticklers at the Guinness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, they're hard nosed about some of that stuff, and the rules since the first game have changed quite a bit. There's my sister's phone. You can hear that. but the rules have changed quite a bit, and it's been tougher and tougher each time we've played to try and ensure that we can get the record. And it's hard. It could be one signature from a ref that maybe refed on a Wednesday, then refed on a Friday. If the signatures don't look alike, then there's no Guinness record. It's that simple.
From the referees?
Yeah. All the referees, all the volunteers, all the scorekeepers, everybody. Everybody has to be all recorded, because the referees and the scorekeepers are part of part of the people that are saying, yes, this is actually happening.
Wow.
So they're limited to time as well. They can only ref or scorekeep for a certain period of time. And as Guinness says, in order for them to stay lucid, they can only do 4 hours a shift, and they have to be off for 8 hours before they can do another shift.
Which is interesting, because some of the players play for 7 hours, so you guys clearly aren't lucid.
Yeah, I know. Well, on the player's side, you're allowed to play for 8 hours, and then you have to have a four-hour break and then can play eight again.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, no, I guess we don't have to be lucid as long as we're out there.
Well, you're barely lucid on most days, so that would work out for you. Brent, congratulations to you and the other 39 players and the 900 volunteers for raising over $1 million in 10 days, which is outstanding, for all the people that donated. I know a big thank you for you, and we look forward to it. I think it's a great idea. Any minor teams out there? Now, if teams, because we've got a few people texting me, if they want to get a hold and fundraise and have a game out there, how do they do it? Who do they contact?
Just call Alberta Sports Vision in Sherwood Park, 417-3003, and grab a message, and then we'll just either email back or whatever, and we'll get it organized.
417-3003. Saker, get some sleep. Congratulations on another fantastic event.
And thanks for your support and everything. We appreciate it.